This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I don't know, maybe I'm playing a little French music in honor of Governor Trudeau up there in Canada, but I do like this song quite a bit. We have our first fish fry of fish fry season coming up tomorrow, Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. You know, let's focus on what's really important here, because as fun as it is to do the show and to have people come and say hi, and everyone wants to meet Sue, and then people want to meet Sue, and then
most people want to meet Sue.
But there's also awesome food. Awesome food at these, right?
Yeah, and we looked up the menu. This has peel and eat shrimp, I believe.
I love that. That's a plus. It is interesting because as we tour around, and we're going to be in Cottleville on the 14th, Assumption Parish in South County on the 21st, Queen of All Saints on Christopher Drive in South County on the 28th, St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood on the 4th, and Ott's Tavern in Millstadt, Illinois on the 11th of April. But what's fun is they all kind of put their stamp on these fish fries a little differently, uniquely.
Yeah.
You're going to get, remember, we've been to some different, we went to Eureka a couple years ago. That was very unique. So yeah. I love seeing the different menus.
And you know what fascinates me is the volunteers that are so dedicated.
Yeah, they love it.
At every site, they've been doing it for year after year. And it's like walking into an organized city
when
you go
is.
To do these.
That's true. And remember, I turned like I was five. Remember the one that some of these, the women, it doesn't have to be women, people homemade. Desserts are part of it.
Yeah.
And I know that the table really enjoys that. Not me, the rest of you.
I think Cottleville was the one of those.
Just reminded me.
Yeah.
I do know that we had a couple of those, but here's the thing. And I don't believe that the crew has, asked me to do this or anything.
Oh, here we go.
But why wouldn't I make some cookies for our event, right?
You could.
That's true.
Maybe I'll have to go to work on some of these cookies tonight and bring some.
Because why not?
I've been blabbing about them for a long time. You know what will happen?
They'll say no.
So, some busybody from Tish's staff at the health department will hear, and then they'll show up and try to sanction us or something like that. Hey, I'm watching this video. I don't even know if we have the audio, but there's this video that went viral today of all these Dems where they're trying to act like they're fighting, and they say, choose your fighter, and there's several different members of Congress, including AOC. If you thought that the Democrats couldn't embarrass themselves any more than they did a couple of nights ago, well, you would be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the thing, and I put this up on the X formerly Twitter earlier. There's, I don't know, maybe five or six of these lawmakers who are featured in this video. And I swear to God, the first time that I saw the video, I thought one of them was Wesley Bell. It's not Wesley Bell. It's a woman by the name of Representative Lauren Underwood. But you tell me, if you look at Lauren Underwood and her glasses and her hairstyle, that it doesn't look like our newest member of Congress, Wesley Bell. I apologize, Wesley, but it kind of did look like her. You know, Wesley occasionally listens to this show. I don't want to alienate him. But, I got to call him like I see him.
I heard on Fox News Channel earlier today, they were talking about whose idea was this. And apparently what they were saying is that Hakeem Jeffries went to Chuck Schumer and said, we're losing the young people on social media. We got to do something about that. He said, okay, you handle it. So I think it might have been something Hakeem came up with.
Well, they're going to keep swinging the bat. They're going to keep trying. Hey, maybe you just make different decisions on the issues that 80 to 85% of the country agree upon, like, you know, trans women in sports. Okay, couple things before Sue's news that I think you'll find interesting. And why does this not happen to us? Fred, you're going to be on an international flight here pretty soon. Did you hear about the Southwest flight on Monday where the woman just took her clothes off?
Excuse me?
Yeah. This is at Houston at Hobby Airport, where my son lives down there. And there's videos that are circulating. She was just butt naked on this airplane. She, I guess, shed her clothes, and she's walking up and down the aisle. Officers were called to the gate for a person in crisis, finding the woman who had ripped her clothes off and caused a disturbance. They took her into custody. They put her in a hospital for medical evaluation, and no one was injured on the flight. But I'm seeing videos that I've seen haven't really been full frontal or anything like that, but you certainly see her walking up and down the aisle and kind of making a spectacle of herself.
That would be awful. Obviously, she's not well.
No, yes. She's not well. And then I think we can all agree on this story. I found this in the LA Times yesterday. I had not heard any discussion about this. It's always kind of annoyed me. And I thought we did something about this in Missouri. Let's say that you are an Olympic caliber athlete and you go to LA next year and you participate and you do very well and you're, you know, playing for our country and you're very proud. What do you get? Well, if you get your medal, then you're sometimes taxed on your medal, right?
Jeez.
Which is, now I think that they may have fixed that.
I think so, in Missouri.
But for the longest time, well, they might have even done it on the federal level. And if they haven't, they're going to do it with Trump. But I'm always like, wait a second, we should be giving more to these people. So listen to this. For many U.S. Olympic athletes, going for gold can also mean going broke, as they shell out thousands of dollars for elite coaching and equipment. That's something that you have to keep in mind. There's a ton of money. I mean, these Olympic athletes have been at it since they're basically 3 or 4 years old. I mean, many of them have. You know, their parents have invested a lot of money. It is not by accident that they get to that level. But the LA Times story says, look, athletes have reported relying on food stamps, racking up credit card debt, resorting to crowdfunding. On Wednesday, yesterday, the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee announced a new financial assistance program for Team USA athletes, a $100,000 retirement benefit per each Olympic Games that they participate in.
That's great.
I guess they seek, this is what they said, they're going to address the financial challenges athletes face, which have led many to choose between leaving their sports to find full-time work or continuing to train. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it works. It says that they'll be eligible to receive $100,000 in retirement payments 20 years after the game. See, I like this, too, because it's not like you're given cash out here and then you go spend it. That would probably be cool, too, but that's something that people do if they cash in their, you know, medals and they sell them. But this also could add up over multiple Olympic Games, meaning that athletes who participate in 3 games, and we do have some of that, would receive $300,000 from the program. The benefits will be paid out over a 4-year period. So you got to wait 20 years, but then you're going to get them relatively quickly. It says that the benefits will not put an end to the financial struggles when they're training, but hopefully provide a safety net when they, you know, retire. So I like that. You know, you would think that that would be a good use of the money for athletes.
Does name, image, and likeness appeal, you know, apply to Olympic athletes?
That's a good question.
That's a nuanced thing, right? Question. It is, but I might give you the wrong answer, Fred, but here's what I would say. We no longer have a situation where Olympic athletes can't benefit from sponsorships. We know that that's been changed. There's certainly going to be Olympic athletes who are part of collegiate teams who are getting paid already. But that is, I don't know what all the rules are on sponsorships, because you see commercials with athletes, and that used to be something you'd have to wait until the Olympics were over.
Right, the Wheaties box.
Mary Lou Retton on the Wheaties box in 1986 or whenever the hell that was, right? All right, you ready for Sue's News for a Thursday afternoon? Don't forget, we are 24 hours away from a live Sue's News in person tomorrow at our fish fry at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
By the way, if you have not tuned in to see Fred in his new rain jacket that Mark got him, hashtag
sharp.
Talent money.
Mm. Yes. I'm feeling really trendy right now.
Yeah, well, it looks good on you, Fred. You could watch on either the YouTubes or the...
It's a North Face. It's kind of a... Well, how would you describe the color?
It's olive green?
Olive-ish green, but it's very nice.
And thank you very much.
We felt like you deserved it for the trip. And it relieves a little stress with you and Marie,
it does.
Too.
It does.
Of course, now she has to determine the size, even though I've already...
Yeah, and what if she doesn't like the color?
Oh, I don't care about
okay,
that.
Good. All right.
Okay, good. On this day in history, 129 years ago. Now, this is 1896, Fred.
Okay.
A guy named Charles Brady King drove the first car on the streets of Detroit. That's how old it is since the first person bought a car and drove it on the street. Of course, the joke is when it broke down, people yelled, get a horse. But...
And here we are, how many years later?
129.
I know, I have short-term memory issues and long-term. But here we are, 129 years later, and we're talking about these self-driving cars. You just talked about this yesterday.
You're right. That's a really good point. All that far. In 129 years, we now drive ourselves. That's nuts. All right, 44 years ago, and I have some sound for this, Mark. In 1981, Walter Cronkite retired after 19 years as anchorman of CBS Evening News.
This is my last broadcast as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News. For me, it's a moment for which I long have planned, but which nevertheless comes with some sadness.
Yeah, it don't came with just... a lot of sadness because then Dan Rather took over. Yeah, so it was even more sad than we even knew at the time, right?
Exactly. But just hearing his voice is comforting to
me. Yeah, it is.
Is that true of you too?
It is.
It's another one of those situations that we talked about the anniversary, the 10,000th episode of The Price is Right. I have a lot of memories from my grandparents when I grew up because my grandparents helped raise me when I was little. And I spent a lot of time with my mom's mom and dad. And I remember watching the news with them.
Yes.
And I watched Laughing with them. I watched the Carol Burnett Show, all these things from the 70s.
And hearing his voice. Not only sounds authoritative, but when I hear it, I just think whatever he says is true.
Yes.
I just believed him.
Yes. And he probably, well, he's obviously more accurate than what's happening today. He actually was neutral. And on this day in history, 25 years ago, this has music too, in the year 2000, Eric Clapton became the first musician inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times. He's in there for the Yardbirds, which is this.
And then
he's
Cream.
In there for Cream.
Yep.
And then finally as a solo artist. I just thought that was impressive.
It is.
Yeah, I didn't know that one. Now, wait, did you say he's the only one for 3?
Yeah.
Yep, that's quite a distinction there.
I can't imagine anybody else getting there.
Right.
I mean, if you're Paul McCartney, you got 2, right? But what's your 3rd? You can't. 3
Wings?
Is a lot. Well, wait, well, that'd be 2.
Beatles and then solo
Beatles
artists?
And...
Yeah,
well,
could you ever
Wings
consider Wings?
Solo.
I know. I don't know if you could do a hybrid there.
Well, maybe.
We'd have to ask our friend Tim Sommer.
That's
who, by
true.
The way, celebrated a birthday yesterday, so late birthday to Tim.
Thinking about Walter Cronkite retirement made me, making the list of on this day in history kind of just reinforces how the times have changed because NBC has announced that Tom Lamas,
I know,
of whom I've never heard.
Right. That's what I said yesterday. No one's ever heard of this guy. Somebody said he did some weekend stuff.
He apparently was working for ABC, and granted, St. Louis is not a strong ABC market, but who? Okay, whatever.
Well, it used to be such a big deal to get that gig, right? You know, like even when Norm O'Donnell was appointed at CBS News and then Lester Holt. But my sense is there's some salary dumps going on. You know, Lester Holt was a lot of money. I don't think that they fired him, but, he stepped aside. And in these situations, Tom Lamas is not making anywhere near the amount of money that any of these other people have made.
That's why we don't know who he is.
Right, exactly.
That leads me to the story about Disney, which owns ABC News, and it's laying off about 6% of its staff. The plan there is apparently to merge Nightline. They're going to merge Nightline 2020 and something called Impact Times Nightline. I don't even know what that is. Disney says it's trying to compete with other streaming services.
There are, just being blatantly honest about the media business, there are a lot of people that are going through some layoffs and some things like that. Our company had some issues today.
Yeah.
It's by the way, it's not just communication. Look, Southwest Airlines firing people. You have Starbucks. Because I get a little geeky on the economic numbers, I'm very concerned about a recession because it's looking like the first quarter might be negative growth. Now, I'm not tagging Trump with that, but everyone else is going to.
Of course.
Right? So there's some warning signs out there.
Yeah. Bidenomics was sign number 1.
That's exactly. And sign number 2, 3, 4, and 5 as well.
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even know Nightline was still around.
Me neither,
I didn't either. See, and that's part of the problem. All right, Hasbro has announced a new version of Monopoly called Monopoly App Banking. Ugh. Ethan, do the kids want Monopoly to be an app-based thing? Here's what they say. Well, hold on. I asked you a question. I'll let you continue.
I guarantee, I can promise you this. my generation, my age of people are not the ones that are playing Monopoly on your phone. There's no way. There's no way.
Well, this is the version that makes the game more digital. It's still the board game, but the board game elements are mostly the same. They're going to do kid-friendly tweaks like Park Place and Boardwalk have been switched to a rocket launch pad and the moon. Hate it. And other new properties include a chocolate factory, a VR roller coaster, and a dinosaur park. Now, the main difference is there's no banker and no physical money. Instead, there's a mobile app that processes all the transactions.
Is there a jail?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's probably considered offensive, so I don't
know
why
there
would be.
Thank you, that's a good point.
Are we using crypto? Well,
Hasbro says the app is great for speeding up the game to make it more accessible for the kids.
Are Trump watches involved by any chance? They're very valuable, too.
Oh, no. A common complaint is that the new version can't be used to teach kids about math. Did you learn math from Monopoly?
Well, but in fairness,
that's actually
a
decent point.
You were, you know, looking at your dollars and how much you had to buy property. So, yeah, I think maybe you did learn a little math then.
Yeah, and they're just making everything for people with no attention and no cash.
I didn't like it. You heard
people
the crowd
agree.
React there.
You know, that's just what it is. And finally, in Sue's news, or do you want me to do one more?
You go for it, Sue.
Really?
Well,
all right.
Who's coming up here?
Tell
no,
me.
We got Andrew Bailey. We better wrap it up.
Okay, here we go. And finally, in Sue's news, this is a quick one. We have today's random fact. I did not know this. Motel 6 got its name because it originally charged $6 a night when it opened in 1962. That's what the 6 is in
good
Motel 6. Nobody ever thought, boy, this will probably rise up to $100 someday. They just said, 6, we're going with it. And that's it for Sue's news.
I had to look this up. I did not know this from memory, but remember the guy that would always do the ads for Motel 6?
Tom Baudet.
Tom Baudet. Yeah,
yes.
Very good. You guys did it without cheating because I had to look it up. It wasn't coming to me. There you go. Hey, Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's doing something very interesting with the Biden administration, what they did for the past few years, he'll explain coming up.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might remember a couple weeks ago, I took a trip to Columbia and Jefferson City. I got to sit down with Governor Kehoe that morning, and the Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, showed me around the Supreme Court building and his office. It was a lot of fun. It was a little dead there that day because all the other wimps from the House and state office holders were afraid of a little snow. There was like an inch of snow, but not Andrew Bailey. He showed up that day, and he's with us this afternoon. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, my friend. I'm reeling from a Mizzou basketball loss last night. Excited about the game on Saturday. Hopefully we can finish the season strong.
I'm heading up on Saturday. Are you going to be there?
You know, I'm going to be at home watching my kiddos, but we will have the game on. We'll be rooting for the black and gold.
So Mark Cox dropped by here earlier. He's a big Kentucky guy, and he's going to the game, but he's prepared for an ass-whooping, I think, because you're right. Last night was not good. They've had two games on the road, and it hasn't been the same team we've seen. I'm hoping for a big rebound on Saturday, and I think we're going to get it.
I totally agree. Senior day at Mizzou Arena. Big Tigers win. You heard it here first. You'll see that on Saturday against Kentucky.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the tour a couple of weeks ago. And it's a little different, as you pointed out, because the other state office holders in Missouri, they're all in the Capitol, but you're across the street in the Supreme Court building. I can't remember. You told me why that was. There's a reason, right?
Yeah, the General Assembly passed a statute several decades ago that requires the Attorney General to be co-located with the Missouri Supreme Court. And so it's a great building. It was built with the proceeds from the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis, and I believe all the materials were sourced from here in the state of Missouri to construct a Supreme Court building, except the slate roof came from West Virginia, and it leaks. So we learned that lesson. But
that's pretty funny.
My office is here on the first floor of Supreme Court building. We've got offices in St. Louis at the old post office. We're in downtown KC, Springfield, Cape Girardeau. So we're statewide, but I have to be co-located with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I got you. All right, listen, yesterday I saw this, and I blasted it out on the X, formerly Twitter. You are asking the DOJ, the Department of Justice, to investigate whether staffers of President Biden took advantage of his cognitive decline to issue radical policies at the end of his term without his full understanding, which, by the way, kind of makes complete sense. But is there some legal room here to actually get something done? This is very clever, I will say. I don't know all the particulars, but explain.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, any legal document that a person signs, if that person doesn't have the mental acuity to know what they're signing, is not a valid legal document. And under Article 2 of the United States Constitution, all executive authority is vested in a president of the United States, not in unelected staffers that he had around him, spoon-feeding him these terrible ideas in the form of legal documents that he subsequently signed. And so who was running our government in the last quiet hours of the declining moments of the Biden administration? I mean, I think we need to know, we the people need to know, and I think we need to probe the legal validity or lack thereof of these executive orders and pardons that he signed.
Is this something that is only coming from Andrew Bailey and the Missouri AG, or is this something that's also being attempted with other attorneys general across the country?
Look, this was my letter to the inspector general at the Department of Justice with my signature and the letterhead of the Missouri Attorney General's office. But I'm sure I'm not alone in raising these grave concerns, because think about the documented history here of Biden's mental decline. We knew that special counsel Robert Hur in his report in February of 2024 said that Biden couldn't form the mental state, the intent to commit a criminal offense. Well, if he can't form the intent to commit a criminal offense by stealing documents, then how is he signing legal documents? We know it got worse in January of that same year when Speaker Mike Johnson talked about how President Biden in his interaction didn't even know what he was saying. We saw the Wall Street Journal report in 2024, June of 24, and most recently in February of this year, a prominent Democrat came forward and said the president didn't even know where he was, had no mental acuity whatsoever. And so this is a well-documented pattern that's been in the public domain. And so I'm certain that I'm not the only one that is concerned, but this letter is Missouri leading the way on this issue.
Hey, by the way, here's some proof for you. How about the new Alex Thompson? And it's hilarious that Jake Tapper has co-written this book. Look, they've written a book. And, you know, the guy that denied that there was any kind of cognitive decline, Jake Tapper, somehow gets his name attached to this. But they claim to have interviewed 200 people for this thing. I bet you get some information for that suit in there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's more evidence. And look, Mark, we see this all the time in probate court in the state of Missouri, where if you have an elderly relative that has a testamentary instrument like a will or a trust, where all of a sudden property was supposed to go one place and upon their demise, it's going somewhere else. And all of a sudden people are coming forward and testing that in court saying, now, hold on a second. When did they sign the document? And were they of sound mind when they did so? This is the same thing. It's just it's on a constitutional level, because we're talking about Article II authority under the United States Constitution vested in a president. And if the president wasn't making decisions and wasn't the one drafting and understanding these documents, who was? The people deserve to know.
So you're asking the Inspector General Michael Horowitz to conduct a full investigation. Is this, do you expect that to happen? My guess would be, like, I haven't looked at the local paper, but my guess would be if the Post-Dispatch is going to cover this, they're going to say, oh, there goes Andrew Bailey again. He's trying something gimmicky, you know, to just do this over politics. But what's the path moving forward?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the Inspector General and how he conducts his business. And he has regulations that govern which cases he can and can't open and what he's allowed to say about those cases. And so I anticipate that there are reviews going on before I pinned this letter. And, yeah, of course the Post-Dispatch is going to say that this is a gimmick, because they want to help cover up Biden's cognitive decline and prop up what semblance of a legacy he may have left behind as he exited the Oval Office. But at the end of the day, these are substantive legal matters that are appropriately raised by a state attorney general.
And I don't know if it gets settled here, but here's what I do know, that the question that you just indicated that you're going after, who was running the country for 4 years, that's a pretty important question. And what we do know is that this was the biggest media cover-up of all time. I mean, and they still don't want to talk about it, besides the book that they're hawking. That's the only time you're going to hear about it. Hey, when we met a couple of weeks ago, I want you to kind of address the issue of Missouri and public safety here in St. Louis. We got a bill that looks like it might get to Governor Kehoe's desk relatively quickly here on local control of, well, this would be going back to state control and having a police commission here. But you were indicating when we were having a conversation that there's a great relationship between you and the governor when it comes to a lot of these issues moving forward, Andrew.
Absolutely. I stand with Governor Kehoe in promoting public safety as a number one policy position for the state of Missouri. Governor Kehoe said it better than I can. Missouri needs to be a better place to be a cop than a criminal. And so many of the policy positions he's pushing that I'm supportive of would accomplish exactly that. And look, it's not state control at the end of the day, because anyone that serves on a board of police commissioners has to live in the city of St. Louis. So it's still local control, but what it does is it adds a Republican structure that removes the politics from policing and gives those police officers the air cover they need to go out and do their jobs without their budgets, without their personnel decisions, without legal representation being hung in the balance. I have clients as a law firm for the state of Missouri. Those clients include the Kansas City Police Department and the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Those are some of my favorite clients, and we have technical expertise in how we defend those police officers. I want the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department to have that same consistent, predictable, capable, competent representation I know my law firm can provide it. I want them as a client as well.
I love it. Andrew Bailey, thanks for jumping on here with me this afternoon. I hope all is well, and let's get a win on Saturday at Mizzou Arena.
Thank you, my friend. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. Take care. That's Andrew Bailey. Yeah, the game last night was a little rough, unfortunately. And you know what's funny? I was very confused by this, and I think I had other people. Sue, this was a game that I was told was available only on ESPN+. I subscribe to ESPN+. They have, you know, like a bundle that they do with Disney and Hulu. So
right. There's
content on ESPN that I access all the time that if you go to, like, ESPN.com, it'll say ESPN+ only, right? But last night I go to ESPN+ on my Apple TV Plus, or Apple TV rather, and I couldn't get it to play. And it said something like it was on SEC Plus. So every time I tried to log in, it wasn't working. I had some other friends that said the same thing. So I guess the point of that, long story short, I didn't get to see the crappy game that Mizzou played last night. And when I saw the score, I kind of gave up on, you know, persisting to try to. It was frustrating though, because, you know, with a program that's ranked in the top 20, top 15 in the nation, I thought it was unusual that the game wasn't a little bit more accessible. But I think that these things are decided sometimes before rankings, if you know what I mean. Hey, when I left the air yesterday, I have to get to this because this was amazing. I often leave and I turn Laura on for the first few minutes, mainly because 98% of the time Eric Schmidt's a guest and he's a friend and I want to hear what Eric says because he's very shy about being in the media. But I love, you know, the first segment of Laura's show, and she's hammering home some of the same themes that I have for the last 3 hours, but she also gives me some ideas on something else. And I'm still so disappointed that we lost Tom Homan. He's a gift to the country, but Tom was on this show on a regular basis for, you know, I'd say 6 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was a great resource talking about the border. Chris Klemm's another guy. You know, you haven't heard Chris Klemm for a while because he's in the administration as well.
He doesn't have
as high profile position as Tom, but he's working behind the scenes to, you know, make sure that these things are moving forward. So, as you might remember, this all came up with the border, and the Democrats keep complaining about a lot of this. So Laura's asking Tom Homan about some of this, and this goes to the hearing that took place yesterday with the mayors. Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Boston. Here's what the mayor of Boston said.
Let's talk about Tom Homan. Shame on him for lying about my city, for having the nerve to insult our police commissioner who has overseen the safest Boston's been in anyone's lifetime.
So that's Michelle Wu is her name. She's the same mayor that took some time out of her busy schedule a few days ago when there were some cops that were almost stabbed to death. And she offered empathy, not for the police officers, but for the actual criminal. And that's what they do in these big cities. So that's sort of the framework. And you had the mayor of Denver, Brandon Johnson, up there. So when I heard that yesterday from that mayor, I thought, wow, I cannot wait to hear Tom Homan's reaction to all this.
Look, I was on an airplane today. I didn't see that hearing, but thank you for playing that, because now I'm going to sleep like a baby. Because if I can get to live in her mind rent-free every day, that's kind of cool. I love my job. I work for the greatest president in my lifetime. We're making America safe again. President Trump promised the American people we're going to shut down illegal alien crime in this country. That's exactly what we're doing. Mayor Wu should be standing side by side with me. Who
exactly
does not want to bring hell to an illegal alien that raped a child? Not one, Many of them. I stopped counting at nine.
So this is one of the big fallacies in the legacy media right now. There's this notion that ICE, Tom Homan, and all these, you know, black helicopters, I guess, are swooping into St. Louis, Chicago, Boston, Denver, and they're rounding up thousands of migrants. Maybe I wish that was happening, but that's not happening. They're doing exactly what they thought they were doing. And by the way, when I say that, I'm talking about legal migrants, not legal, illegal migrants. Right. But what they're doing right now is doing exactly what they said they were going to do. They're going after the criminals. And Homan, I think you'll hear him in a second say, look, is there collateral? Sure there is sometimes. But let's not act like we're not going to, about this in a way that gets the worst of society off of our and out of our country.
As far as the mayor of Chicago, about we're not making this community safer, I went up there, did a one-day operation. We took seven TDA members off the street. We took two illegal aliens that were convicted of murder that they released, took them off the street. We arrested six child predators, took them off the streets of Chicago. ICE is making every one of those cities safer because they're releasing public safety threats back into the public. That in itself is just stupid policy, and we're going to keep going. Look, they can hate me all they want. We're coming. I said I'm going to bring hell. I meant it. I'm going to stand by it, and I'm going to do it. We're going to take child predators off the street to these cities where they don't want to do it.
So let's just talk about Chicago for just a moment, because Chicago is one of the most violent places on the planet, and it has been terrible since Lori Lightfoot took office. I think a lot of us had hope because she was a former prosecutor. It got worse.
Yep.
They booted her out of office. Brandon Johnson comes in. It's worse because he's another one of these BLM guys, and he wants to play social worker. It's ridiculous.
City is also safer because of our welcoming city ordinance. That law makes sure that the city's police resources are focused on our local priorities. Chicago's welcoming city ordinance and our other laws and policies do not lead to more crime.
So pay attention to the language, okay? It's no longer sanctuary cities. It's welcoming cities. And Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, is trying to make the case that his city is all kinds of safe. We've got no problems, right? We're dealing with all this. But you guys coming in here with ICE, that's making it more dangerous for our residents in the city of Chicago. Guess what? I've got audio from dozens and dozens of African Americans who live in your city who were screaming at the top of their lungs last summer and beyond about the migrants taking over their parks, taking over their resources. Brandon Johnson, your people are not on your side.
Look, he's ignorant. And these mayors just don't get it. You know, President Trump made a promise we're going to prioritize public safety threats and national security threats. That's exactly what we're doing. We're at about 30,000 arrests, most of them are public safety threats. There are some collaterals, and why is that? Because people like him and the mayor of Boston and the mayor of Denver, they don't let us arrest a bad guy in the safety and security of county jail where the officer's safe, the alien's safe, the community's safe. They release him in the community.
Yeah, see, that's outrageous, and that was addressed with the mayor of Denver yesterday, and it's so easy. If you cooperate with ICE, well, maybe this would be a lot smoother. But it is interesting because, and I'll play a little Maxine Waters audio here as well. Think about Brandon Johnson somehow making the case that it's a more dangerous place to be when you have gun violence that's out of control. It's more dangerous because you're trying to crack down on migrants. Now, we had a situation like this out in St. Charles County. You might remember this was right after Trump took office. There was some of this was in the local paper, but there was a raid. Well, it wasn't a raid. Let me take this back because that's how it was billed. People were accusing ICE of doing a raid at the El Magway. I think it's the one that's right off
I-70. Oh, that's right.
What happened was that was a drug raid. It wasn't an ICE raid, but what they found was that there were migrants that weren't legal. So then they called ICE in, and I believe that there were, you know, arrests that were made. But that wasn't something that was the primary enforcement mechanism, if you will.
We got to go to the community and find him. And when we find that bad guy, if he's with other illegal aliens that aren't a criminal threat, but they're in the country illegally, they're going too.
Exactly.
So what they're doing is getting exactly what they don't want. More agents in the communities, more collateral arrests because they force in this position. I'll say it again. They're not going to stop us. We're going to do this job. And if they cross the line, they'll be held accountable. We got Pam Bondi now as Attorney General. She's going to take a strong stance. She's already suing these sanctuary cities. We're going to do this job for the American people. We're not going to apologize for doing it.
All right. Good for you, Tom Homan. So here's Maxine Waters, Congressman Waters. I believe she's 130 years old right now. And this is a Zoom call.
Really did not like the way he used the tragic incidents and the families that were there who, of course, appreciated, you know, what they think is their president caring about what happened, you know, to the 12-year-old and to others who were victims. And we all feel sad and bad for them, but he misused them. He misused them. And what he did was he focused on them instead of focusing on the real issues.
So that's Maxine Waters claiming that the president is using these people who have been victims, like Laken Riley's family and others, victims of violent crime by migrants who should not have been. And by the way, it goes beyond just should not have been here in the country, who were in this country and in some cases in custody and then released out of custody. Right. That's how bad this has gotten. So she wants to claim that the families, who, by the way, completely support President Trump, who are outraged by the lack of response by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, she's trying to make Trump look out or look like the bad guy here.
I mean, give me a break. Americans are dying. I've met hundreds of angel moms and dads who buried their children. Another congressman talked to Homan, the architect of family separation. Yeah, we separated families because we prosecuted parents and the children can't go to jail with them. That happens to U.S. citizen parents hundreds of times across this country every day.
Exactly.
But they don't talk about the 500,000 children that were trafficked into this country. They can't find 300,000 of them. They're in sex trafficking and forced labor. Not a word about that. That whole Democratic Party remains silent on that. Shame on them.
Look, if your mom and dad are you know, robbing banks or they're killing people or they're embezzling, they're going to be arrested. And the kids are taken away, to Tom's point. That's what's happening with the migrants. The Democrats try to sell this in another direction. It's a bunch of lies. We're very excited. Fish Fry Fridays kick off tomorrow. We will be out there live at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church, 1910 Serbian Drive. A couple of things that I want to point out. This is an opportunity to come out and see the show in person. We're going to do the roundtable with Jane Duker, State Rep Steve Butts, former State Rep Gene Evans, who actually is going to be a guest next hour. They'll be there. Sue, Fred, Ethan's going to be stuck here in the studio. We're going to get him out to one of these. But come out and say hi. Enjoy some of the great food that they have at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. We'll do all the fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to try to get Cusimano to come up to one of these. I don't think he can make it tomorrow. And I was going to say something else about this tomorrow, but I can't. Oh, I'm bearing the lead. A young lady by the name of Alexa Reardon will be turning 10 years old on Saturday. And she wanted to come by the fish fry. Mainly... Good. Because I think she thinks that about 150 people will sing happy birthday to her. And I think that we're going to probably try to execute that, right?
Oh, that's funny.
So
okay.
She is very excited about her birthday this weekend, Sue. I will have you know. Brian Kilmeade joined us a little bit earlier on the program, and he's coming back. And that show is coming up fast. It's 2 weeks from this Saturday. BrianKilmeade.com, where you can buy some VIP experiences. And the regular tickets, I think availability is limited. But this is a great time. And if you want to do the VIP, you can meet and greet, say hi to Brian. And he takes some time with everyone who's a part of that. So keep that in mind. And that's sponsored by Bob and Tammy Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group. And it's going to be a fun event. 2 weeks from Saturday. You know, I always try to cull down some of the best audio of the day, Sue, for audio cut of the day. And I'm just going to leak this one early as a strong contender. If you were, ask yourself, put yourself in this position. I'm asking the audience to do this as well. If you were, and maybe there's some people out there hard on the left, right? You don't like Trump. You don't like anything about what he's doing right now. You want to protest. You know, you're going to put your foot down here. You're going to say something to the rest of society about what this damn president is doing in Washington. How would you go about doing that?
I would not do a video where I'm fighting. I would not hold up signs during him speaking.
That was one reference we had of a viral video of members of Congress, all that. Would you go on Instagram and say something like this?
Effective form of protest you have right now that you can start immediately. Put a mask back on.
Ah!
Stop letting them observe your face and have the side benefit of better health. And protecting the rest of us in the world. Put a mask back on.
Isn't that great?
Oh, God. I'm begging those of you in Webster Groves and Kirkwood. You know, I went to the Alpine Shop in Kirkwood today. I'm surprised I didn't see some people masked up, because typically in that part of St. Louis we would. I'm begging the liberals to put their masks back on as a form of protest, because if you thought they looked stupid up until this point, this is going to be an easy way for us to identify them moving forward. And you can kind of only guess what that woman looked like. She might be better off with a mask as well. Uh-oh, misogynistic. I'm sorry.
Get more at 971talk.com.